If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Well, I want to share a scripture with you from Matthew 6, beginning with verse number 25. The Lord Jesus is speaking during His Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Well, as I'm sure many of you do, I look online to see the internet headlines, to catch up on what's going on in the world, and it's hard not to during these unprecedented times. But you know, you need to be careful absorbing the news of the day, because it can cause you to be overwhelmed by worry. Worry is a normal human reaction to events, negative events, we know that, or uncertainty about the future. But if left unchecked, it can have devastating effects on us. In his book, Anxious for Nothing, Finding Calm in a Chaotic World, author Max Lucado writes, "One would think Christians would be exempt from worry, but we are not. We have been taught that the Christian life is a life of peace, and when we don't have peace, we assume the problem lies within us. Not only do we feel anxious, but we also feel guilty about our anxiety. The result is a downward spiral of worry, guilt. Worry, guilt." End quote. While we often think of worry as the inevitable result of difficult circumstances and something completely beyond our control, there's actually a good bit we can do to keep worry from overwhelming us. Did you know that? We don't have to be powerless against worry. Three times in this passage that I just read here in Matthew 6, Jesus says, "Do not worry." And then another time he says, "Why do you worry?" Clearly then, he does not intend for us to be overwhelmed by or incapacitated by worry or anxiety. Fortunately for us, he doesn't just tell us not to worry. Don't you hate it when somebody just tells you not to do something or to do something, but they don't tell you how? He doesn't just tell us not to worry. He actually shows us how to win over worry. And that's the title of my message today, Winning Over Worry. Winning Over Worry. You and I can win over worry. As I said, worry is a normal human reaction, but we don't have to be overwhelmed by worry. So for the next few minutes, I want to share today the answer to the question, what do you need to do to keep from being overwhelmed by worry? What do you need to do to keep from being overwhelmed by worry? Well, the first thing that you need to do to win over worry is to understand that worry will never help you. I'll say it again. You need to understand that worry will never help you. Jesus said in verse 27, "Who of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to his life? Who can extend his life by worrying? And by extension, that means who can bring about anything positive by worry? Now, I know there's something called concern. There are legitimate concerns that arise in life and things that arise that cause us concern and demand our attention that we need to fix or give attention to. I understand that, and that's legitimate, and God understands that. But Jesus is talking about worry or anxiety that can be debilitating and that can cause problems. Far from worry helping us, I submit to you this morning that worry actually can be very damaging to us. Edward Hallowell, who's a medical doctor, wrote the preface to the book Worry, Controlling It and Using It Wisely. Dr. Hallowell was asked, what harm can come to someone from worrying too much? Here's his reply. Listen to this. He said, excessive worry, or what I call toxic worry, is bad for every system in your body. It increases the risk of heart attacks and strokes. It impairs digestion. It causes shortness of breath. It causes all kinds of musculoskeletal aches and pains. It produces headaches and migraines. And then neuroscientists at the University of Pittsburgh have pinpointed a specific neuronal mechanism that helps explain how anxiety can disrupt the decision-making process and often leads to poor choices. The evidence is that the cognitive process of decision-making depends on proper functioning of a part of the brain known as the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex. And when the neurons aren't firing correctly in our prefrontal cortex, we're not able to make good decisions. And studies have shown that anxiety disrupts the brain neurons of the prefrontal cortex and then causes us to make poor choices. So we see that far from helping us, worry can actually be detrimental to us. It can be detrimental to us physically, emotionally. It can cause us to make poor choices in life. And being overwhelmed by worry is not a good thing. Listen to what the Word of God says in Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. And I love what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So it's very clear from that scripture that in contrast to being overwhelmed by worry, we can turn to Almighty God, bring Him our needs, bring Him our prayer requests, and that is the diametric opposite of being overwhelmed by worry. What does that mean for you and me? That means during this time of this crisis, this COVID-19 virus and all the complications it's causing, or really doing any time in our lives, when you are feeling like you're overwhelmed by worry, when you are feeling like the anxiety is too much to bear, the answer is not to just allow it to overcome you. The answer is to turn to Almighty God, to bring Him your needs, to pour out your heart to Him, to bring Him your requests. And the scripture is clear that He will bring peace into your life. He might not change your situation right away. How many know that's true? And God certainly does have the power to intervene, and I believe He does, and He will, and we thank Him for that. But until He does, He can give us the peace of God that the scripture says here transcends all understanding, goes beyond our ability to understand in the midst of our crisis, in the midst of our trial. So the first thing you and I need to do to keep from being overwhelmed by worry is to understand that worry doesn't help you. Worry can be harmful to you, but the thing to do when we feel like we're beginning to be overwhelmed by worry is to turn to Almighty God, to bring our needs and our petitions to Him and allow Him to bring peace into our lives. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad we have Him to turn to, aren't you? Right now, in the midst of your worry and anxiety, turn your problem over to Jesus You'll be amazed at what that will do for you. What's the second thing you and I need to do to keep from being overwhelmed by worry? Well, the text tells us, number two is to remember that your heavenly Father knows what you need. Jesus said in verses 31 and 32, he said, don't be consumed with running about, worrying about what shall I eat, what shall I drink, what shall I wear. We could extend that to say, how will I clothe myself? How will I put a roof over my head and take care of my family? How will I pay my bills? How will I have all these earthly needs met? And he says an interesting thing. He says, the pagans run after these things. Wow, the pagans. What's a pagan? A pagan is someone who is godless, who has no regard for God. Now, he's not saying that if you, you know, pay attention to providing for your physical needs and work a job and pay your bills and, you know, deal with financial setbacks that you're a pagan. He's not saying that at all. We all have to do that. What he's saying is don't be consumed with worry and don't fret and wonder where everything's coming from, because your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows that you need that. He is your Father. He will care for you, and He will provide for your needs. Don't be consumed with anxiety and worry over how your needs are going to be met. Godless people who don't have God, godless people do that. We have the Lord. I've often said in the middle of a crisis, and I'm sure many of you have too, I don't know what people do, how they deal with these type of crises and problems when they don't know the Lord. But thank God we do know the Lord. And if you're out there today and you're listening and watching and you don't have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you don't know the Lord, the Heavenly Father, as your provider, I encourage you to invite Jesus into your life today. Become His child, and you will know the security and the peace that comes from knowing that your Heavenly Father completely understands everything you need and is willing to provide for you. Heard a story about a missionary in Africa who was in somewhat poor health, and he depended on goat milk for his source of vitamins. He had his own goat. One day, the tribal leader came to visit the missionary, and the missionary noticed that the tribal leader was quite taken with his goat. And so, as a gesture of goodwill, he gave the goat to the tribal leader. He made a present to him, even though he relied upon it for its milk. The tribal leader, in gratitude, gave him the missionary his walking stick. Well, time went on, and the missionary, his health began to decline some, and he really needed that goat milk. So he decided he would walk into the village, into town, to see if he could purchase some goat milk. And so he took the walking stick that the tribal leader had given him and walked into the village and attempted to buy some goat milk. But he was told that his money wouldn't be accepted, that they wouldn't sell the goat milk to him. And when he asked why, an explanation was given to him. They told him, they said, that walking stick of the tribal leader is his scepter. And when you hold the scepter of the tribal leader, you are entitled to anything and everything you want in the village. They said, we're not going to sell you the milk. You can take it because you have the scepter of the leader. You have the scepter. You, in other words, have the rights to everything you need. Let me tell you, church, we are the children of Almighty God. We bear the mark of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords if we're His children, if we've received Christ. And so we have the rights to everything we need. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to acquire it by our own means, except that the Lord enables us. We are entitled to everything we need. I don't mean it's free, we don't have to pay for it, but God gives us the means to acquire everything we need. Everything we need is available to us. Philippians 4:19, a wonderful scripture, you know it well. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Are you going through a little bit of a difficult time right now? Let me encourage you today. Your Heavenly Father knows exactly what you need. And He will provide for you what you need, not only physically, not only materially, but emotionally and in every other way, relationally. God knows what you need, and He will provide it for you. Your Heavenly Father is not unaware of your needs this morning. Isn't that encouraging? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We may feel like no one else knows what we need and can meet our needs, but your Heavenly Father knows. So Jesus said, you don't have to worry about those things. Your Heavenly Father will provide. And then there's a third thing we need to do to overcome worry and not be overcome by worry. The third thing to do to win over worry, it's this. Refuse to let earthly concerns divert you from spiritual pursuits. This is very important. I want you to catch this today. Jesus said in verse 33 here in Matthew chapter 6, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, in other words, all the things you need, will be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God first. Make it a priority. And you know what happens in life in general? Because let's face it, before COVID-19, before coronavirus, this is a unique and unprecedented time, and it's causing us to adapt in ways we never thought we'd have to. But let's face it, there have always been trials. There have always been difficulties, isn't that right? And so there is always the tendency to become fixated on solving our problems and getting our needs met. And it's always a temptation to do that. And of course, that's legitimate to a certain extent. But the temptation is always to do that at the expense of spiritual pursuits, at the expense of growing closer to God, at the expense of time in prayer and seeking the face of God, at the expense of doing ministry and ministering to others. There's always that temptation to be so fixated on myself and what I need. And Jesus here tells us we need to seek first the kingdom of God. And, you know, there's been a question. Did this virus come from Satan? Is it a work of Satan? Or did it come from a lab? Or is it just something that happens naturally in the world? I don't know. I tend to think that it's just a part of something that comes in a fallen world. We are subject to sickness and disease because we live in an imperfect world. But I will tell you this. Whether it originated with him or not, Satan knows how to use things like this that arise to attack the people of God. Uses it as a tool. And one of the ways he can use this as a tool is to get you and me so fixated upon meeting our own everyday needs and so inward focused that we forget about spiritual pursuits. We forget about time with God. Or if we pray, our prayers are something like, Lord, bless me. Lord, meet my needs. Lord, take care of my family. Lord, help Johnny. Lord, help Susie. Lord, help Aunt Mary. And there's nothing wrong with those prayers in and of themselves. But if that's the sum total of our prayer life, then we're falling a bit short in that area. Are we praying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, as Jesus taught us to pray? Are we praying for missionaries and people in ministry? So many of you have told my wife and myself that you're praying for us during this time. We appreciate that so much. Are we taking opportunities to minister and to do the works of God? This situation has brought about fresh opportunities to minister. Are we taking time to do that and reach other people? When my kids were little, if you asked them, are you worried about where your next meal is going to come from? They would have said no. They didn't even give it a thought. Are you worried about having clothes to wear? No. You worried about having a place to live? No. Why? I mean, that question would have never occurred to them. They would just, if you asked them, they would say, well, Mom and Dad, I have that covered. You know, it's taken care of. And they could just focus on being kids when they were little. I'm sure that's true with your kids as well. Another illustration of this is, military personnel who are deployed on the battlefield. I don't think you're going to hear too often military personnel on the battlefield say, I know I have this mission, I have to do this, but I gotta worry about providing something to eat. I gotta make sure there's, I have shelter, and I gotta have clothes to wear. I gotta provide for my family. No, that's not a reason to beg off of the mission, because Uncle Sam has that covered, at least in theory. I know there are imperfections sometimes, but if you're out on the field, you're gonna have meals to eat. You're gonna have a uniform to wear. You're gonna have some kind of shelter over your head. It may not be a five-star hotel, but you're gonna have. And the point is, the military provides that for you, so you don't have to worry about that. You focus on the mission. If God provides everything we need to continue to be about spiritual pursuits, seeking God, praying to God, doing ministry, growing in Him. Take this time. If you have extra time at home, do a new Bible study. Find something to grow in your faith, and or take an online course, or spend extra time in prayer. Find ways you can practically minister to someone and help someone who's in need during this time. Seek to grow. Don't let earthly concerns divert you from your spiritual pursuits. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I like what Rick Warren said. Rick Warren said, worry is the warning light that God is really not first in my life at this particular moment, because worry says that God is not big enough to handle my troubles. That's true. Is that warning light showing in your life? God has your back. God will supply the things you need. You and I need to continue as God's people to be about God's business. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. So one of the great things you and I can do in order not to be overwhelmed by worry is to refuse to let earthly concerns, important as they may be, refuse to let earthly concerns divert you from spiritual pursuits. What's the fourth and final thing we need to do to avoid being overwhelmed by worry? It's to trust God for one day at a time. In verse 34, Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. Each day has enough cause for worry. That's true, isn't it? There are enough worries for tomorrow. Just focus on what is important today. Trust God for today. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, we just studied this in our Wednesday night Immerse class. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God sent manna daily to feed them during their time in the wilderness. And they were told, you are to gather just the amount of manna you need each day to feed your family for that day. Don't gather extra, because if you do, it won't be any good. And sure enough, some disregarded that. They gathered what they needed for that day and some extra. And you know what happened the next morning? It was filled with maggots. It was unedible, unusable. And only on the day before the Sabbath could they get 2 days' worth, because they weren't to gather on the Sabbath, and then it wouldn't be spoiled. But the other 6 days of the week, they were to gather only for that day's needs and not to worry about tomorrow, because God would send what they needed again tomorrow. God was teaching them that they could depend on Him each and every day. It's been said that only 8% of the things we worry about are even likely to happen. Did you know that? I don't know how they determine that, but studies have shown about 8% of the things we worry about for the future actually come to pass. There is a saying, worry is just interest paid on trouble before it comes due. And in most cases, 92% of the time, it doesn't come due. So that means that when you and I worry about the future, there's a 92% chance that we're worrying about things that won't even happen. Put another way, we're paying interest, 92% of the interest on a debt that's not even ours. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't plan. Elsewhere, the Bible extols planning. We should plan for the future and keep tomorrow in mind. We can be future-minded in the sense of planning and working toward the future. And as we've said, what we are doing today is forming us for the future. So it's not that we completely disregard the future, but we don't worry and fret over our needs or if things are going to be provided for us in the future. That's what Jesus is saying here. Don't spend time worrying about or things that we think may go wrong and happen. Most of the time, they won't even take place. And we find that that worry was needless. Lamentations 3, verses 22 and 23 say this: because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Boy, that's powerful. His mercies are new every morning. You know, you may be going through this situation or other things in your life, and you may be saying to yourself, I just can't take another day. I don't know how I'm going to make it through another day. I felt that way. I think we all have. You know, you wonder how long something will go on. And what you're saying is, I feel completely depleted of strength and the emotional wherewithal to deal with this challenge and this crisis. I don't have any more strength. I'm tapped out. How will I get through tomorrow? Ah, but his mercies are new every morning. God will give you new strength tomorrow. God will give you the grace you need tomorrow to deal with tomorrow's problems. How do we know that? Because he's a God that we can trust. He's a God who's true to his word. And all you and I need to do is deal with the problems of today. He will help us deal with the problems of tomorrow. He will help us not to be consumed by worry. So to conclude this message on winning over worry, just let me do a little recap. What do you and I need to do to keep from being overwhelmed by worry? What do you need to do to win over worry is the question we asked at the beginning. Well, we said, first of all, you need to understand that worry never helps you. Toxic worry, anxiety doesn't help you. It can cause damage to you. The answer, we said, remember, is when you begin to feel overwhelmed by worry, turn your worries and your problems over to the Lord, and he'll give you peace in the midst of your time of worry. And then secondly, we said to win over worry, you need to remember that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows everything you need, and he will provide. You have accessibility to all the things that you need because your Heavenly Father knows. He's aware of exactly what you need. And then thirdly, we said you can win over worry by refusing to let earthly concerns divert you from spiritual pursuits. When you and I let worry preoccupy our every waking thought and the sum total of our focus is, you know, how am I going to deal with this problem? How am I going to provide this? How am I going to get through this? We are diverted from pursuing after God. We're diverted from spiritual growth. We're diverted from doing ministry. We're diverted by getting deeper into the Word of God. Don't let a crisis of today or problems, yes, you have to give attention to them at times, but don't let them completely sidetrack you or derail you from going hard after God. You can go, you know, sometimes we say, well, you know, when this crisis is over, man, I'm going to go hard after God. Don't wait. Don't wait for the crisis to be over. Get into God now. Matter of fact, crisis is a perfect time to grow deeper in him, to grow deeper in your ministry and pursuing after God. Don't let earthly concerns divert you from spiritual pursuits. And fourthly, we said to win over worry, trust God for one day at a time. Don't be focused on tomorrow to where you're consumed with worry. Just deal with today's worries. I promise you, I guarantee you, if you'll trust him, he'll give you the grace you need. Are you tapped out? When tomorrow comes, he'll give you enough grace and enough strength to deal with the problems of tomorrow. You can win over worry. And I just come against worry as a tool to be used against us, to debilitate us and to do damage against us. And I just proclaim now in Jesus' name that God's people can be victorious over worry.